When you said earlier, you know, why you're super optimistic, I was, because in my head, I'm thinking, well, you probably know that there's something you can do to control the outcome. Now, maybe it's big, maybe it's not, but like, let's say it's raining. Well, are you going to complain about the rain? You can't control that. Well, why would you? Can you take an umbrella? Can you put on rain boots? Yes. Like, successful people are going to focus on those things. They're going to do those things. And like, what's going on in the environment doesn't matter quite as much.
By the way, you never feel more refreshing than running or walking in the rain or running in the cold or in a snowstorm or even a hurricane. You know, there's somebody said, the only workout that's no good is the one you don't do. Like, so like, stop complaining about all these external factors. They're actually bonuses.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Today, Joe talks to Nick Shaw, author of Fit for Success and the host of the RP Strength podcast, about motivation and nutrition, and share their own Diets for Dummies guide, comparing paleo, keto, carb cycling, and all the other hot and not so hot diets out there.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger, made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Use the code HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off.
Joe DeSena here, founder of Spartan, the Spartan Up podcast. I've got Nick Shaw from RP Strength. This guy wrote a book on fit. What is it? Fit for Success?
Fit for Success. Yep. So that's the name. It's just released in November.
Tell us, you know, what is it about? How'd you get into this? A lot of people are unlike you and I. They're not into fitness. They're into drinking and eating unhealthy and chips and Doritos. How'd you get into this?
Yeah, well, fitness is my life and background. I've been doing this since I was a teenager, really. But, you know, I've had the fortunate pleasure of working with some of the best athletes in the world, worked with a lot of clients myself one-on-one, and you're able to kind of pick up on some things that all the successful people tend to do. And it's really cool to see. And I'm a pretty avid reader myself. I love reading and learning. I was able to tie a bunch of those principles and I just started noticing all these common themes like, hey, you know what? Successful people tend to do these things. And then about a year ago, so 2020 hits, and you know, my wife was diagnosed with some bad health news, unfortunately. Knock on wood, she's doing very well now. But that was all before COVID, right? So that would have been bad enough by itself. And you know, then a couple months later, you know, she had surgery, and then you know, she started chemo, and then she's into, and then COVID hits, and all this stuff was happening, and it kind of made me take a step back and really think, hey, you know, all these things that I've been sort of pondering about, well, it's time to really put them into action. And it's one thing to talk about stuff, but it's a little bit different to really live them every single day and, you know, really put them into practice. And so I thought, you know what, a lot of people are going to be impacted by 2020 and COVID, as I'm sure, you know, obviously you already know. And I think a lot of people would need that. And so that's why I made a really big push to get the book out before 2020 was over. So it's really about the seven main things that successful people tend to do and draw some personal experiences and, you know, just, tying in a bunch of different books and, you know, successful athletes, things like that.
Now, is it successful people in business and marriage and everything, or is it successful in fitness?
So it's a little bit of both, right? So you can definitely draw some parallels between fitness, between business, between overcoming adversity and obstacles, because I think success is pretty universal, right? And, you know, successful people tend to do, you know, a handful of things. You know, they work really hard. They focus on the things that they can control, an internal locus of control. They typically have a positive mindset. You know, they're typically pretty disciplined. So I think those habits are pretty universal for all that stuff.
I agree with you. I mean, and if you're a podcast host like you and I are, you get the fortune of listening to those things. And then I wasn't even expecting it. I don't know how many years ago we started this podcast, 4 or 5 years ago, but you're right. They keep coming back to the same intersection points. They are disciplined. They work hard. They have a positive mindset. And very much, I would imagine, like you or I, like I'm actually going to run to a doctor today. And the doctor had a form to fill out. And one of the questions was like, on a scale to 1 to 10, how happy are you? 11. I'm always happy. Right? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how optimistic? 11. I'm always optimistic. Even when the sky is falling, I'm optimistic and happy. So
So let me ask you, so why is that? Because I tend to be the same way, right? And it is funny to pick up on those things. Like, so if the sky is falling, right? Like, well, why are you optimistic? What makes you optimistic about it?
It is, I think I, maybe because I actually enjoy the process, the work. And so for me, that just means, all right, we gotta lean in. Like I don't enjoy sitting still. I don't enjoy not being productive. And you know, you make a little bit of money and all of a sudden you get to hang out in the house and you can watch a little bit of Netflix, but I don't actually enjoy that. I actually enjoy the fight and the battle and the struggle. So maybe when the sky is falling, it's like, we're about to go to work.
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing because I was just, if you've ever read the book, it's called Passion Paradox. And they talk about the mastery mindset and successful people like that. They just enjoy the process. It's not really like being obsessed with the outcomes. Of course, we want good outcomes, but we really just like the process. Like I love reading and learning and training. I just love the idea of getting better. So like, I'm not really obsessed with, you know, people say, well, hey, where do you want to be in 5 years? And I'm like, I don't really know, but I just know I'm going to be in a much different spot, much better spot than I am right now. So I'm just going to kind of aim to get a little bit better each and every day. And that's going to gradually compound over time. That's it.
It's pretty simple, right? When you think about it. And I think people make it probably so complex that they get stuck. I have 4 children, a wife, and a nanny. Somehow, they are all doing something more important than my podcast. And I got the dog who's vomiting over there. But that's okay. So, all right, Nick, let's go through the different types of diets. It'll be, well, let's call it Diets for Dummies. All right, there's the name of your next book.
I was going to say that's a very good title, actually.
Right, Diets for Dummies, paleo. Just what is it and what are the pros and cons?
Paleo, eating mostly high quality foods. So you're typically eating not processed things. That's kind of the main element of paleo. It's sort of like, hey, let's focus on how our ancestors ate, you know, tens of thousands of years ago. We obviously didn't have all this processed stuff around. The definitions can vary a little bit. So let's just be pretty general here. So mostly proteins, fruits and veggies, you know, you're not eating dairy. I don't think you're eating legumes. Again, it sort of depends on how hardcore paleo you are. But again, at the end of the day, the pros of that are you're eating tons of high quality foods. Very, very good. One of the cons would be if you're a high level athlete and you need lots of carbohydrates, boy, oh boy, you're going to have to eat a lot of fruits and veggies and sweet potatoes. It can be a little monotonous. It can be a little restrictive for some folks because you can probably eat, you know, some grains or things like that and be okay as long as you don't go too crazy with them. But for some people, it's a little more restrictive. But, you know, we got to talk about the pros and cons of any one diet approach because, you know, I don't think there's anything just inherently bad about most of them.
Keto.
So what is keto? You're really not eating carbohydrates. So you're eating low amounts of carbohydrates, usually under something like 30, maybe 50 grams a day. I forget the exact numbers, but that's really the main element of keto. So pros, well, you're eating lots of proteins, you're eating lots of healthy fats. You're also, because you're eating those things, the protein and fats are very filling. They're very satiating, which means you are probably going to have less hunger. These are all good things when you want to control for calories. The cons of keto, again, maybe a little bit too restrictive for people if they want to eat carbs. You know, like maybe you can't eat that much fruit. Maybe you should really like fruit or, you know, maybe you like bread or something like that. So it's going to be a little restrictive. If you are a higher performing athlete, keto is really tough to do, especially if you're training endurance or, you know, obstacle course Spartan races. It's going to be tough to do if you're at the higher tiers.
How about plant-based or let's say vegan?
Vegan. So vegan is you don't eat animal products. Okay, that's kind of what it is. What are the pros? You're eating lots of plants. Very, very good. Okay. The cons, it's not a huge con really. But it can be a little trickier to get in enough lean protein to sort of maintain lean muscle mass. Again, it's not a huge thing. You just have to be a little bit more creative. If you are focusing on counting your macros and stuff, it becomes a little bit more complicated. The math becomes a little bit harder. Again, these aren't huge things. But again, for a lot of people, it's just a little bit too restrictive if they like eating, you know, meat. And there's sort of ethical reasons on top of that. And if people, you know, are interested more in that, then obviously that's another pro for the vegan diet lifestyle as well.
And I guess the opposite of vegan would be a carnivore's diet?
Yep, carnivore. So what is carnivore? So it's the opposite of vegan. You are predominantly eating meat. And again, I'm not like super, super well-versed in the exact definitions on all these things. But in a nutshell, that's what it is. So the pros, well, you're eating lots of, you know, animal sources of protein. So from a muscle building standpoint, that's all good stuff. Maybe some cons. Well, again, you're not really eating a whole lot of other things, and it's just not too appealing for a lot of folks. So if we want to think about maybe just being well balanced, you know, a lot of these things that we're saying, they're sort of like the yin and the yang, right? So it's like one's way up here, one's down here, and it's like, can we maybe just find a place that has a little more balance? Because a lot of people probably want a little bit of balance for, you know, I like to think of, you know, diets and nutrition, not in terms of just weeks and months, but potentially, you know, months and years. Like, can you do these things for years? And for a lot of people, the answer is going to be no.
My plant-based friends say the problem with eating too much animal protein, which is, in his opinion, a big problem, is you just don't get enough fiber. You need to eat more plant, but that's his opinion. What about this clean diet? What's a clean?
Clean eating. What does clean eating mean? So clean eating basically means you're not eating processed foods. I like to jokingly say it just means you're washing all of your foods, but that's really just a little bit of a joke there. So clean eating means you're not eating processed foods. So you're eating, you know, your lean protein. It's kind of like paleo. I would say paleo is pretty similar. Maybe you can eat things like rice and potatoes and oatmeal on top of that, but you're not eating, you know, things that are made and processed in today's environment. Let's say that's probably the best way to define it. So the pros are eating lots of high quality foods. It's a great thing. Very good. The cons, it sort of gives this negative connotation that there's this tons of foods out there that you absolutely cannot eat. Like, they're almost, you know, quote unquote bad for you. And again, for a lot of things, it's probably not, is one thing good or bad? It's kind of hard to label things like that. But if you're not eating them all the time, but every now and again you want something, well, you know, is that okay? We don't want people to feel like if they're eating, you know, a piece of pizza, that it's all of a sudden poison for them. Well, if you're not eating it all that often and you're controlling for calories and you're exercising regularly, you can probably do some of these things.
Intermittent fasting, which I guess can be overlaid on any diet.
Yeah, boy, you could do intermittent fasting, keto, all, you know, all this stuff, and some people do. So intermittent fasting is really just the idea. You take a big chunk of the day and you're just not eating calories. So a pro is, I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm usually not super hungry. And when do I tend to struggle more with hunger, or when do most people struggle with overeating and eating a lot of this junk food or ultra processed foods? Usually it's at night, right? So again, if we shift our eating window from throughout the day to a little bit later, again, if we're not hungry in the morning, you know, maybe having some coffee, caffeine in the morning, these are great things. If you're not eating till later, you're more full later in the day, during the night, good things, right? Makes things easier for a lot of people, helps them stick to it. The cons of intermittent fasting are really pretty small. It's maybe not ideal if you want to be like a bodybuilder, have as much muscle as possible. It might be a little bit better to have some protein earlier in the day. Kind of, you always have some protein coming in every few hours. Again, these are pretty minor things. So that's really the con of intermittent fasting.
How about this? What is this? Carb loading or carb cycling? What is this?
Carb cycling. So the idea is you eat a set amount of carbs on a given day and it just kind of rotates. So maybe one day is 200. Another day it's 50 grams, it's a lower carb day. One day is a moderate, maybe it's 100 or 150. You just kind of keep cycling through this. So the pros are it's going to be pretty flexible. You can fit your foods in there, you're probably going to be good to go. So it's really flexible, gives people a lot of options. The cons are, we would say that your carbohydrate intake is usually tied to your activity levels. Well, so what happens if one of your low carb days falls on a day you're running 10 miles? Well, that wouldn't really seem to make any sense. Now, could you strategically plan it so you have your higher carb days on the days that you're training more? Sure. And that would seem like a pretty good strategy. You just probably don't want to be so set in stone that the schedule doesn't work.
I'm not confused because I've been literally living this for 40 years. Like I said, my mom was into it, but I could imagine somebody watching or listening being completely confused. Which one should I do? And so I almost thought of a Saturday Night Live skit you and I could do where Monday you're a carnivore, Tuesday you're vegan, Wednesday you're carb loader, Thursday.
So that's a really good point. So there's all of these different camps out there, right? Of different nutrition strategies. Well, again, we talked about this a little bit before, but how do they kind of all tie into the main principles, right? Of we want to find something that you can be consistent with in the long run. We need to control for calories. You know, we need to make sure we have a high quality food source. These are kind of the three basic things I would say. Well, they all tend to do a pretty good job of that. They're just labeling them or calling them something a little bit different. But when it's like, it's funny, right? Because we have keto or carnivore, and then we have vegan. It's like these polar opposite things. Can you be these things and be healthy? Yes, you can do them at either way. So what are the similar patterns here? Well, again, by doing these things, a lot of this, you're controlling for calories. And if you're eating higher quality foods, which is really the goal, it's really hard to overeat and kind of get into that obesity state, which comes from, you know, excessive calories all that. So there are some common principles out there that tie all these together.
I like to say there's like three levers you can pull when it comes to nutrition.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger. Honey Stinger is made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Honey Stinger's waffles, energy chews, gels, and bars give you the fuel you need to push harder, go further, do all the things that we do as Spartans. For training and racing, you need convenient nutrition that tastes great and works. Honey Stinger is Spartan's official on-course nutrition. It's made with real honey. Honey Stinger started with a simple plan: wholesome ingredients, great taste, and of course, honey. Why does Honey Stinger use honey? Using an ingredient engineered by nature, not in a laboratory, it has its benefits. In fact, the less you mess with Mother Nature, the better. That's why they're committed to the True Source Honey Pledge. And they've got a special code just for our audience. You can save 30% with the code HSSpartan2020. That's HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off just for our Spartan Up podcast listeners.
I like to say there's like three levers you can pull when it comes to nutrition. It's the quantity, the amount you eat. It's the quality, less ultra processed and more healthy foods. And then it's the eating window. And just make sure that you nail two of those every day.
Yeah. And so that's a really good point. And if you nail the quality, you nail the quantity sort of by default. And that's really the key. If you look at a lot of these diets, maybe even something like Whole30, which we didn't mention, which Whole30, you know, I don't think you eat dairy, you don't eat alcohol. There's a whole host of things that you don't eat. Well, again, when you're doing all these things, you're eating higher quality foods. You are controlling the quantity aspect as well by default. And that's really the key, is how do we get people eating the right amount of calories without having to track them really crazily. And that's what these diets or nutrition programs are doing really well. Listen, I'm a nutrition, right? And, you know, sometimes you can break it down so easy. You're like, hey, here are the basic things, but people seem to want this magical answer that doesn't really exist, because the best answer is just to master the basics and then just be consistent with that. And if you can do that for days, weeks, months, and years on end, you're going to be successful pretty much no matter what it is, especially in fitness. But people like to go from point A to point Z seemingly overnight. And a lot of people, it's like, it doesn't really work that way, unfortunately.
We do want a quick fix in America. We were taught that in this microwave culture, right? We do everything half. You know, the ancient Spartans used to believe not to worry about legacy, like leaving behind a bunch of money or a big building or any of that. They just believed if you did a really good job and worked hard right now, that stuff would just come. And here I am 2,500 years later, right? We're talking about them. So they were right. Just do a good job. Just put your head down, put one foot in front of the other, eat healthy, and all the benefits, they come.
Yeah, I think that goes back to that process mindset. It says you just focus on that process. And because you are, by default, you're going to do good things and you're going to have good outcomes. And that sort of naturally, you know, is going to draw interest from people and you'll kind of leave that legacy almost by default, even though you're not really even planning to do so. And it's really interesting how it all works.
But what the optimal diet is it for everybody, or should people eat according to their ancestry or their goals or what?
So a lot of times I'll say this, and some people get a little carried away and they kind of draw something else out of it. But the Bald-Bellied Elk's consistency is going to be what matters most. So that's really the foundation of our pyramid, is how do we create a nutrition program for somebody that's going to be sustainable for them, right? Because we can give them this perfect optimal thing and, hey, you need to eat this amount at this exact time and you need to do all this stuff. But if someone can't follow it, can't stick to it, does it really mean that much? Because you can give someone the best fitness program in the world, this optimized down to the T, you cross all of your T's, dot all of your I's, all that. But if someone doesn't stick to it, well, what good is it, right? So consistency has to be the first thing that we focus on. After that, and this is where people get a little confused, because I'm going to say calorie balance is really important. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, one calorie of broccoli is the same as eating, you know, one calorie of like candy or something like that, because people get a little confused when we say that. But if you look at all the really popular important diets, they're doing one thing and they're sort of controlling for calories without having people think about it too much. So let's take keto. All right, well, you don't eat carbs, so you drop out an entire macronutrient group. Pretty good way to control calories. Intermittent fasting. You're not eating for half the day. That's another pretty good way to limit calories. Now you're not making people count all their calories and do all this, but they are doing it by default. And that's kind of the secret. The secret really is to simplify things, get people eating mostly whole, good quality foods without having to track everything and, you know, be super precise. Now, some people want that, of course, and that's totally fine. That's kind of what we specialize in at RP. But really, at the end of the day, it's getting people to eat higher quality foods, because by default, if you do that, people are going to eat about the right number of calories that they need to match their activity levels.
So you're basically saying, if you ate more salads, as much as you want, you're naturally going to get better nutrients and less calories.
Yeah. I mean, what's easier to overeat? If you go out to a restaurant, which is kind of a weird thing to say right now, given COVID and all that. But if you're going out to eat and you get a salad and you get some lean proteins in it and, you know, whatever else you like on it without going too crazy, it's really hard to overeat. Now, of course, you could pour a gallon of oil on that and tons of crouton and cheese and all this. Okay, then, you know, all of a sudden the calories can build up pretty quick. But on the flip side of that, if you go to like a burger joint, you get a big burger and fries and a milkshake, all of a sudden you're eating this huge number of calories. So again, if you just focus mostly on eating high quality foods, you're controlling for calories pretty much by default. And it's a really, really simple way to approach nutrition.
The way I approach it, my mother was into being vegan, yoga, meditation back in the 70s. So I was just, through osmosis, I was just radiated all these thoughts and things before it was cool, before there were podcasts or yoga journals or Whole Foods. And it was basically more plants, you know, put as many plants as you can on your plate. She actually believed in intermittent fasting. Again, I don't know what it was even talking about, but in the sense that she said you shouldn't eat 4 hours before bed, and you shouldn't eat 4 hours between meals. Hang on, I'm gonna go eat my dog. Hold on one second. This is Shackleton.
Oh, nice.
You're watching. This is Ernest Shackleton. So you shouldn't eat 4 hours between meals because you got to digest. And so just naturally, I ended up in this, this concept of intermittent fasting. I just didn't eat all the time, more plant-based. You could have a little bit of animal protein, but that was really like, that was almost like the condiment. It wasn't, you weren't loaded with animal protein, and more water, less everything else, and stay away from ultra-processed foods. I mean, is that a crazy diet?
It's not super crazy. No, not at all. So at the end there, yeah, I think you mentioned something pretty good, and it's pretty spot on. So you're not eating a lot of processed foods. And again, that goes back to, if you're eating predominantly a lot of high quality foods, you know, lean proteins, lots of, you know, fruits and vegetables, things like that, you're on the right track. And fundamentally, by nature, it's going to be very hard to overeat. So you're going to be in a better spot in terms of your body weight, usually that's going to go with all sorts of good health outcomes. Now, this is all being said without exercising. Of course, you want to exercise too. But if you exercise and you eat mostly high quality foods, boy, oh boy, it's going to be really hard not to be in a good health spot.
So even though the solution is simple, why are, you know, 6.99 billion people not able to get it together, get their act together when it comes to food?
What foods taste the best? Yes, everything that is hyper palpable, and you're able to just eat these things and they taste so good. You want to eat more of them, right? The food industry wants to sell food, so they make stuff taste really good, you know, because we think back to, you know, we go back, you know, thousands of years or, well, you know, before that evolutionary history and all that, like, we wanted to eat that stuff because it meant we were going to get more calories. We'd stick around longer because who knows when and where we could get food next. And so we're sort of designed for that. But now we're in this environment that food's everywhere. It's so easy to get. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to do this stuff. So, yeah, like our brains are wired. We want all that stuff that tastes good. So it is a battle. And guess what? It's easy for me to walk to the store and get a ton of food that tastes really good and maybe is good for me, maybe is not. Tastes really good, so it's really appealing. It's a hard battle to overcome. And so, you know, one thing that we could probably talk about a little bit is setting your environment up, right? And so I don't know about you, but, you know, if we ever have some junk food or whatever in the house, it's really hard to avoid. I'm a pretty disciplined person, but it's really hard for me to avoid. You know, I got two small kids, so, you know, they like to eat that stuff every now and again. So typically, the best strategy is to set your environment up in a way that it's not really around. You don't have to think about it. You don't really have to exert any willpower or thought about it.
Yeah, if it's not in the house, you're not going to eat it, right? If it's not accessible. And then you got to surround yourself, I guess, with people that are like-minded on this whole subject. Because if everybody's eating chocolate cake around you, it's pretty hard to not eat chocolate cake.
It is really hard. That is true. A lot of people, if they're able to get on a nutrition program with their spouse or friends, or, you know, think to some really popular nutrition programs out there, like something like Weight Watchers, which is huge, right? What do they have? They have this community aspect to it, right? Where you are able to interact with people that share similar thoughts and values and are trying to get better and improve. It's a really big part of it, for sure.
Exercise. How the hell do we get motivated to exercise every day? What do we do?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think a lot about motivation. I really do. I honestly think about motivation every single day. And people wrongly think that they need to be motivated every single day. I don't know about you, Joe. I like to think of myself as someone that's pretty hardcore. I'm not motivated every single day. There are many days where I'm like, I don't feel like training. And I know that I should, right? Like, there's a difference between maybe you are just going real hardcore all the time. You actually do need some rest. But like, it's very easy to talk ourselves down, right? And I've been training at home more. I'm not able to go out and go to the gym as much. It's really easy to kind of, if I wanted to talk myself out of it, oh, you know what? Hey, I need an extra rest day or something. But again, it comes back to sort of why? Like, why are you doing what you want to do? Well, exercise is just kind of part of who I am. I've been doing it long enough. I love the idea. I love the process. I love the idea of getting better. These things just go hand in hand with fitness. And, you know, luckily they go hand in hand with business. You're just always trying to get a little bit better. So how do I stay motivated? I just kind of think about, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? No one's forcing me to. I love the idea of it. I just want to get better.
Easier said than done.
100%.
Right? I mean, that like if you wouldn't have wrote the book if everybody was following these seven steps.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, they're not eating right. They're not exercising. They're not optimistic. They're in their own way. They're hanging out with the wrong people. They're staying up too late. What's your feeling on what time should we go to bed? What time should we wake up?
So these are really good questions. So I think a lot of it's a little bit dependent on the person. However, so in my book, so I like to say, yeah, I typically get up earlier. Now, why is that? Well, because I know that all these things that I want to do, you know, reading, exercising, practicing mindfulness, all these things, they're easier to do if there are fewer distractions around. This goes back to the environment. So if I get up before my kids are up, before they need to be doing their, you know, homeschool, remote learning stuff, you know, before my wife's up, before social media is going nuts. If I do these things earlier in the day, I don't have to worry about all the distractions. So that's why I like to do it. do you have to get up at crazy early hours? No, but I've actually been experimenting with this a little bit recently over the holidays. I haven't been getting up as early. I actually have to exert more willpower and more discipline to do these things later because I'm like, oh, I haven't done these yet. Now I need to take time out of my day to go sit down and do these. It's a little bit harder. So I would probably be more of a fan going to bed a little bit earlier, making sure you get enough sleep. For most people, you know, it's like 7-8 hours a night, getting up early, doing all these things, and it's done. It's out of the way. You don't have to think about it as much.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're setting yourself up for success. A lot, what I'm hearing you say a lot of is set yourself up for success. If you shorten your eating window each day, you're setting yourself up to eat less calories. If you eat more, you know, natural foods, you're setting yourself up for less calories. If you do your workout in the morning, you're setting yourself to not come up with an excuse later in the day as to why you didn't do it. Let's wrap it up with if you had to pick, you know, the perfect diet and the perfect exercise, knowing that you and I are probably over-indexing those things in our life, everybody else is probably not paying as much. Like, what would the perfect diet be? And what would the perfect routine be every day?
Let's start with the nutrition. Eating probably, let's call it, you know, 3 to 4 times a day. Your meals are focused around lean proteins, plants, so lots of fruits and veggies. You're eating, you know, healthy fats, you know, nuts, olive oil, avocados, things like that. Those are all good sources. And then you can eat some carbs, but they're probably tied to your activity levels. So if you're training a couple hours a day, you get to eat more carbs. If you're not training all that much, you're training under an hour a day, you're not going crazy on carbs. You can focus on, you know, again, fruits and veggies, good sources of carbs. Maybe you want to throw in some, you know, sweet potatoes or oatmeal. These are fine things as long as you're putting in the work and being active. Again, assuming most people don't have hours to spend in the gym each day, they're getting after it. You know, they're training Spartan style or, you know, just sort of high intensity, 30 minutes, an hour max. They're able to get in, focus on, you know, the main compound lifts, burn a ton of calories while you're there, be very efficient with what you're doing, and you're done in less than an hour a day. You know, in terms of other habits, you know, hopefully you're listening to podcasts like this one, of course. You're maybe reading a little bit each day, and you're just trying to do these things that get you a little bit better every single day. And it's going to feel like you're not accomplishing a whole lot, but boy, over time, all these little things add up to huge, huge differences. And the successful people just stick to those long enough that they go from what seems like they're not making any progress. All of a sudden, you know, a year or two later, they're way up here. Everyone else that didn't do these things thinks there's some magical secret that gets them from here to here. That magical secret is in the process, like we talked about, just slow and steady, slowly, incrementally getting better.
It's like compound interest in the bank, right? Put a little money in the bank every day. That's really what you're saying. Cold showers, you a fan?
So I read, I can't think of the book off the top of my head, but a friend sent it to me. So I, of course, read it. I like the idea of colder showers. I was into it for a little bit. I need to get back into it. Definitely got out of my habits a little bit over the holidays. I like the idea of it because it makes us practice a little more mindfulness. And we're able to take the event that happens, pause just a little bit, and sort of react like, oh, hey, this actually is cold. Huh, my natural reaction is to kind of want to freak out a little bit. It's not that bad. And again, like doing some of these little things just helps us be more aware. So if event A does happen, we don't immediately overreact or, you know, react super emotionally. We're like, okay, let's just slow it down, calm, cool, relax, like more logic and reason.
Yeah, so the cold shower, science is showing, right, the cold water therapy actually would build your immune system. There's some positive science there, but what you're saying is if you took an ice cold shower in the morning and then flew somewhere and the Wi-Fi didn't work on the plane, maybe you'd say to yourself, Wi-Fi is no big deal. Thank God I'm still not in that cold shower.
I think that's a big part of it. Things happen. Can we control it? No. Okay. Let's not worry about it. Can we control it? So it's interesting when you said earlier, you know, why you're super optimistic. I was, because in my head, I'm thinking, well, you probably know that there's something you can do to control the outcome. Now, maybe it's big, maybe it's not, but like, let's say it's raining. Well, are you going to complain about the rain? You can't control that. Well, why would you? Can you take an umbrella? Can you put on rain boots? Yes. Like, successful people are going to focus on those things. They're going to do those things. And like, what's going on in the environment doesn't matter quite as much.
By the way, you never feel more refreshing than running or walking in the rain or running in the cold or in a snowstorm or even a hurricane. You know, there's somebody said, the only workout that's no good is the one you don't do. Like, so like, stop complaining about all these external factors. They're actually bonuses. You're awesome. Thanks for coming on. And I think we all want to be fit for success.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger, made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Use the code HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off.